Expat Life.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Let them eat cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At any time, an invitation you can't decline. Caviar and cigarettes, well versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen. Dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind. Ooh, recommended at the price, insatiable and appetite. Wanna try? Complications. She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Middleman, China, we're down to gauge your mind. Then again, incidentally, she was that way. Perfume came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Because she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen. Gunpowder gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Of a hat, she's as elegant, playful as a pussycat. Momentarily out of action, temporarily out of class. Absolutely dry. She's out to get you. She's a killer queen, gunpowder gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind. Recommended at the price, insatiable and appetite.
Greetings, Xenophiles. Can you believe it's now 50 years, count them, 50 since that song first stormed the charts? Killer Queen by Queen. I remember the day I bought it. I'm rushing to the record shop to buy it. 50 years, imagine that. On this day in 1806, the Continental System declared in the Decree of Berlin, Emperor Napoleon I banned all trade with Britain. And about 200 years later, Britain tried to do something similar, but in reverse. How did that turn out? Idiots. On this day in 2002, NATO invited Romania to join, alongside Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Slovakia and Slovenia. So NATO countries bordering Russia is not exactly anything new. Here's something else now then. It might seem crazy, what I'm about. Can you believe that it's already 11 years? Sunshine. 11 years old, this song. I'm finding it hard to believe. Never mind. Happy birthday to Goldie Hawn, who's 79 today, and to Bjork, who's 59. Right, let's get to business. Our guest this week, an expat all the way from Baia Mare. Does Baia Mare count as being an expat? It's close to the border, but it's on this side. Anyway, Alexandra Boldovan. Hello.
Good evening, how are everyone.
You? Yeah, now then, not strictly an expat, but it doesn't matter. It simply doesn't matter. We have a story to tell. It's an inspiring story. Alexandra was born in Baia Mare, in the zone which you told me now is where the airport is.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, and how was your family life? Were you a big family? Were you a small family?
Oh, I can say we were a big family. I say were because many of them unfortunately passed away, but they still remain in my memory as my first, the persons who put the foundation to the I don't know, house I am today.
Yeah.
I could say I am a house because, and I welcome everyone to this house because I have a lot of abilities or strengths and weaknesses like anyone else, like a typical house. This childhood was like furnishing this house.
Yeah.
Let's talk
some more about it.
Yes.
Expat life.
They're all back.
Tell me about your childhood.
So there. So you were part of three generations in your house, right?
Yes. The great-grandparents, then the grandparents, and then my parents, and then me. So actually four.
Okay.
Four generations. I stay in the house of my father's parents now, and my father's now. I was with all of them, and even if everyone from my family supported me and was with me during childhood, these people, these special people who stay with me in the same house, put the strongest foundation to the house I am today. And I want to express my gratitude towards them, those who are listening and those who are listening from the sky.
Right. Yes. They get the best signal from up there.
Yes. I remember my great-grandfather telling me stories and my great-grandmother cooking delicious food for me.
Mm-hmm.
Great-grandparents actually fighting for my from the first time they learned about my disability until...
See, we haven't even mentioned that yet, right?
Yes,
let's talk about this. Now, for the first 6 months or so, your parents were a little confused because, well, you couldn't see.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Nothing had been diagnosed at this point, so it was just like, can you see or can you not see? So, okay, so what was diagnosed at 6 months? What exactly was the problem?
They played with the fingers in front of my eyes, mm-hmm. and tried to get a reaction from me. But unfortunately, I didn't react.
So they were thinking, well, she hates us.
Yes, of course. And then they went to some medical checkups with me, and they learned of my optic nerve hypoplasia, which
What does that mean?
It means that the optic nerve doesn't develop, nor it regress. Does not regress. So it remains very small.
Mm-hmm.
And is underdeveloped. So I have some remaining vision, but I was born blind due to this underdevelopment of my...
So what could you see? Just colors, shapes, light and shade, or no edges, nothing? What?
I can see some colors.
Right.
I would say I can see the colors of the Romanian flag. I don't know.
Oh, everybody knows that.
Yes. Blue, red and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
but my favorite color is yellow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So my house is yellow.
Oh, right. Shiny. Yes. So how did this affect, let's say, your schooling, right? Because... schools were not always as inclusive as they are now. So how was it at school now? You couldn't see, but you went to an ordinary school, right?
Yes, yes. I went to an ordinary school, which was, in fact, the first years in my school were spent together with my grandmother, who was my primary school teacher.
Oh, that's useful.
Yes, and she really integrated me in that school.
Uh-huh.
I only needed to adjust to the requirements of the teachers because I got sufficient support from my parents, sufficient educational support,
mm-hmm.
and from my family in general. So that my educational process was good, but... still, I had some challenges regarding this the materials, for example, that were necessary for me to learn in my first years, I would record, so my mother would record my lessons and I would listen to them and learn them in this way. So it's important, actually.
I'm thinking simple things like, you know, most classic image of a classroom, right, is you've got your teacher standing at the front drawing stuff on a blackboard or a whiteboard and talking about it, and you can't see what is being written.
Yes, yes. And it's important for teachers also to verbalize. And I would suggest for future experience, such experiences with visually impaired people, including in mainstream schools like I was, I always was, to be helped by their teachers. This means inclusive teaching. And each teacher who graduates from the teaching module should have basic knowledge of what inclusive teaching means. That's what I and other young people like me with visual impairments and with other disabilities are pleading for.
Now, I know that you have this amazingly positive attitude to everything right now. I'm just thinking, yes, when you were at, let's say, in your first years of school, clearly you were included, yes.
Yes.
Not fully integrated, maybe, but because. But were you feeling in any way, obviously different, right? But were you feeling in any way of, you know, why me? What bad luck this is? Or did you completely accept?
So I felt the difference, of course, because other children would go to parties and I wouldn't. Okay. I would feel alone in the loud music,
right,
from the parties, because I couldn't get myself oriented towards a person who is speaking because of the music,
because
loud
of the noise,
music,
right.
or other very minute details that make a difference. And but during my kindergarten education, I wouldn't feel this so much. During my first school years, I felt the lack of orientation and mobility more. Yeah, but I couldn't explain it until much later. And it was too late, I think, for a very, very good orientation and mobility development.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend other parents with children like me to start with orientation and mobility early in life.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because the earlier the better, obviously.
Yes.
Because as I wrote in the notes, this, you know, you're differently abled, not disabled, differently,
yes,
abled. Let's remember that. But it has not hindered really your education, and we'll talk about your education later when we talk, because one educated young lady here. It also hasn't diminished your ambition, right?
Yes.
So when you were, you know, middle of your school years, let's say when you hit your high school and you start thinking, you know, the classic, when I grow up, I want to be a... what were you imagining? Were you imagining being a lawyer? What did you think?
I didn't know. I loved maths, mm-hmm, in the early years of school.
Right.
My opinion changed a bit after that. So I didn't have a very good plan, but I thought maybe a radio host.
Well, you managed that one.
I'm very passionate about radio. Because I also like planning things and, mm-hmm, being very technical. But on the, right, other hand, I like listening to music, and this is my artistic side.
Right. Yeah. Now, you were playing music from a very young age, right?
Yes. Yes.
So this was one of your hobbies, right? What were you playing? Guitars, pianos? What were you playing?
Piano.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, at 6 years of age, I learned my first song from my mother and,
yeah,
from my uncle, my mother's,
right,
brother.
What was the song?
The song was the Donkey's March.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. It was a very childish song, but also very complicated for, mm-hmm, my age, of course.
Right.
And I learned it. I learned it very quickly, mm-hmm, in no time.
Good.
Yes, and this is another way of expressing myself through music, which I discovered at that age. And since then, I would also plead for visually impaired people and for other people with disabilities to discover their talents early on in or for parents of such children to discover their talents early on in life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm thinking of our mutual friend Valentin Andriesh, who also is an amazing musician. He'd stick a guitar in his hand and there's no stopping him.
Yes, yeah. And he's a very talented actor as
yeah,
well.
Also that. Yeah. Talking about music, it's already time to play the first piece. So your first choice, you picked... now then, you picked a song that was... God, it took me straight back to my childhood.
Oh, me too.
So why did you pick Julie Andrews and Favourite Things?
Oh, I remember my great-grandfather's stories with the very, very fictional characters during winter and his idea that each child should play in the snow and should feel everything that's around him. Mm-hmm. And they all promoted this idea. And they played with me in the snow, everyone in my family, including my great-grandmother.
Right.
Yes. And my great-grandfather pulled the sleigh.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Let's play.
Yes.
Yeah, raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favourite things. Cream-coloured ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favourite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver-white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favourite things. When the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so.
People gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
And welcome back. Expat Life with Alexandra Moldovan. Now, we take the story forward now because we said you were an educated young lady. And so let's skip forward to the university years. What did you study? Where did you study it? And how far did you take it?
So my university was my university years were very, very dear to me. I studied English and German in the university in Baia Mare, Modern Applied Languages. Then translation, interpreting and terminology studies actually in Sibiu because it's one of my favorite towns. It brought me opportunities and it was the first town actually where I used my orientation and mobility skills, beginner's skills to learn new routes.
Oh, right. Now, how did you do that? At this point, you didn't have a guide dog, right?
No, no.
So how did you get around?
Oh, my mother, because I learned about using a cane from some of my friends, very visually impaired friends. And I learned how to use it. And my mother would try to teach me, even if she didn't have the necessary experience, which she gained from Light in Europe, actually. But we'll talk about that later. I tried to follow her advice, and I succeeded on one route, but only one, because I was a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But you didn't feel fear is not the right word. Any hesitation? You were like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find my way around?
Yes, I felt. And I can say I always feel, because the anxiety comes since there is no accessibility, not so much accessibility on the road. This is one thing that we are pleading for. More accessible infrastructure, which can help us. For example, tactile markers could help very much a blind person get from from a point A to point B in a town. I actually felt very unsafe to go alone.
Right.
And I always was accompanied by my mother.
Mm-hmm.
During that period of time. And I was not confident enough to go forward. But now I did it.
You did it. Yes, correct. Nothing's going to hold you back.
Yes.
And so while you were studying, and you studied, you didn't just stop once you got the university diploma, right? You kept going.
I kept going. And now I'm currently doing a PhD on translation, on visually impaired translators.
Yes.
I'm studying how we can improve the work environment and the skills of future visually impaired translators.
So are you studying also, for example, how the technology can help?
Yes, yes. And this is also one of the things that I do in my part-time job at Light in Europe. But let me briefly tell you how I met them, how I met these wonderful, wonderful people. Mm-hmm. At this NGO. My grandmother met a blind masseur who had this amazing guide dog named Dylan in Bayamare.
I remember Dylan.
Yes.
I do.
Wow, wonderful. And Andre is a wonderful, wonderful person who directed me to Light in Europe. And I spoke to Anka, and Mrs. Camellia then called me to congratulate me on my efforts and to welcome me in the community of Light in Europe. So then we collaborated a lot. We've been to the European Parliament in 2024, 2022, sorry. It was a wonderful experience. Since then, I'm working at Light in Europe as Accessibility Hub Coordinator. This is a project where we try to train people in visually impaired people and hearing impaired people in assistive technology.
We'll come on to the details of that a little bit after the next piece of the next piece of music. But while you are still studying, right? I'm curious now just to touch a little bit on the technology everyone knows now that Siri can read out what's on your phone, right?
Yeah, the screen readers.
What the listeners can't see is that Alexandra's... I can't think of the word for it. You're caressing this little thing which is in your lap here, which is your braille reader, right?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I know we don't want to go on, this is not the only piece of technology, but it is a fascinating thing. And what is this thing? It's like, I described it earlier, it's like CarPlay. Yeah, everyone knows what CarPlay is, but this is CarPlay for Braille.
For Braille, yes.
Explain what it is.
It actually...
How it helps.
It actually shows the screen of a computer or of a phone in Braille. It's very simple.
Just as simple as that.
Yes, but it's very expensive and very complex in its technical things, because it can be connected with Bluetooth or USB to many devices, and it also has its own applications, let's say, for taking notes and things like this. But it is like a Porsche, for example, for blind people, because yes, because it's very, very expensive, as you mentioned, and we are not insisting on this on this piece of technology. It is of course useful for a person working in translation industry, in programming, or in music even, because they need to focus on the details. So
here's exactly the thing, because I remember thinking, why such an expensive thing when your phone can just read out what's on the screen to you? But that's not always the best option, is it? If, for example, if you're a musician, you don't want your telephone talking over whatever you're trying to play.
No.
If you're in a conference and you want to take notes, you don't. You can't have Siri telling everybody in the room what you're listening to.
Or you can have it, but it's in a headphone. You can use your headphones.
Yeah, but then you're cut off from the rest of the room.
Yes.
So this is it is a very smart thing. But yes, you're right, expensive. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you can, and the modern telephones are straight out of the box able to talk to this device, right?
Yes, yes. They have built-in support for this device. Windows and mobile phones, Android and...
Right. You know, it's time already to move on to your second piece of music.
Okay.
Apparently you had a dream.
Yes. I really have a dream to make Romania a more inclusive place by showing how we work and helping people cope with their overcoming their disability.
Yeah, yes. As simple as that. So let's listen to a little bit of I Have a Dream then.
I have a dream, a song to sing, to help me cope with anything. If you see the wonder of a fairy tale, you can take the future even if you fail. I believe in angels, something good. A tree. I had a dream, a fantasy to help me through reality, and my destination makes it worth the while. I know the time is right.
go from that, which you can hear the whole song on the podcast version, of course, to another piece of music that's been carefully selected by our good friends at Carrefour.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Hai, n-ai undiță, ești la pescuit.
Gura mare, lăsă vrăjala, mușcă momela, uită sfințeala, hai să-ți dau un pirs cu un cârlic frumos, vezi cum sare sângele din buza ta de jos. Mamă, mamă, ce devină zeamă, se scurge pe bărbie, dar să nu ai teamă. Lasă-mă să vin cu gura mea pe buza ta, nu scoate cârligul, lasă-l că îmi place așa. Lin grana, mi se limpezește prana, chem un Uber și mă duc până nirvana, bag un șat cu Buddha și mă învață tibetana, bag și un vaccin că mi s-a inflamat membrana. Pescarul amator, pescador de amor. Pescarul îți leacă în mare amarul. Pescar, scar, scar, pescarul prinde sirenele cu gârlige de aur. Mamă, mamă, ce m-a luat răceala, din cerca de o pilulă ca de nea. Mă uit atât și-l văd pe Mickey Mouse pe ea. O închid și aud deodată numai vocea ta și cu cântec de sirenă mă ademenești în larg. Legați-mă ca pe Ulise de catarg, îl sparg. Vrăja e tare, coplă și doare, doare. Șaptim cărlicul în mine și mă trage adânc în mare. Îmi amintesc acum de ursitoare care ziceau că am să pierd ca un înger efemer căzut din cer, fulgerat de Jupiter. Spune-mi Lucifer, vrăjit de cântece viclene, alucinogene, nepământene, ce mă fac nene? Nu cred în paspe și-n povești lacrimogene. Mega tentacule îmi ies acum din vene, zic cu tatăl nostru sar în apă și plec să vâne sirene.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Quixotic.
Exotic.
Welcome back, Expat Life, Alexandra Moldovan. Before we go any further, in an update to previous appeals, we still need volunteers to look after some trainee guide dogs over the Christmas period while their carers fly away for a week or two. We did this before and we got quite some reaction. Now, if you could look after a healthy, beautiful, clean, well-trained guide dog or trainee guide dog over the Christmas period, you need to contact Camellia on 0744 541 775 or contact Stan on 0744 541 774. Or just search Light Into Europe on Google and you'll find the contact details there. The hardest part about this whole exercise, if you do take care of one of these beautiful dogs for a couple of weeks over Christmas, the hardest part will be giving the dog back. Because you will you'll get attached to them. But if you could help out it'd be a very, very nice thing and you're going to have tons of fun. Promise you. So back to the story. Now then, Alexandra.
Yes.
Right. So we've talked about how you are the most educated person I know, and you met Light Into Europe because of Dylan, right?
Yes. Andre and Dylan,
and then you started working with them, working for them. Looking after, taking care of what's called the Accessibility Hub. Tell me what that is, what it's for, sell it.
But I would also like to tell you before that my friend Heidi is here. She's a buddy dog, and she sends her greeting to you all.
All right. Woof.
Woof, yes. She doesn't bark, so...
No, she doesn't. She just makes a sound.
No.
Unlike the dogs downstairs, which you can always hear.
No.
Yeah.
She's very well behaved because they are trained not to bark.
Now, but as you mentioned, a buddy dog, right? So technically not actually any longer a guide dog.
Yes.
And so what's the difference?
The difference is that a buddy dog accompanies a person so that a person gets acquainted with what it means to be a guide dog, to take care of a guide dog. Or of a dog, a special dog, a specially trained dog.
So this is where the dog trains the person to be ready to take a dog.
Yes, of course, of course. And
so the dog is the teacher here. I love it.
Yes. So Heidi actually taught me what it means to manage my time.
Really?
Yes.
She's like your secretary.
Yes. Because I have to wake up. I have to give her food. I have to groom her.
Yeah.
Yes. It's an entire routine with her, and then I have to go to work, of course. So now let's talk about work.
Let's talk about the accessibility hub.
Well, the accessibility
hub. It's in Bucharest, right? It's at the Gimbolia.
202.
Right, there we go. What is it? Who's it for? What does it do?
I welcome everyone there because it's for everyone. It's not for people with disabilities necessarily. It's for everyone. It's for everyone interested in accessibility. What does accessibility mean, actually? Accessibility is a concept that means facilitating everything so that it can be usable or... I don't know, some people can access it easily. So what do? We actually train people how to accelerate inclusion of people, disability inclusion, let's say, of people with different abilities, because this is the terminology we are using.
Not disabled, differently abled.
Differently abled people, yes. So
how could you? I mean, this is aimed as much at not the how do I put this carefully? It's not aimed at the people who need it. It's aimed at the people who are supposed to provide it as well. If you see what I mean, a company, how can a company better accommodate someone who, for example, can't see? Well. Yes. You need to do this and you need to do that. And if they're not sure what they need to do, you're here to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Accessibility Hub is about, correct?
Correct.
So who's your biggest corporate client?
We have many, many corporate clients. We are in our... so the project is in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
And we welcome everyone to join us. Basically, we're helping... many companies with our guides. So our first step is to offer guides to each person interested or each company interested in making their services or products accessible. Because we believe it's important to have a checklist first and to make a plan.
Right.
Which is also important from the point of view of the legislation. There is this piece of legislation that you might have heard about, the European the EU Accessibility Act. It was drafted in 2019, and it says that or it caters towards companies in the public and private sector as well, stating that they should make the products and services accessible by 2025.
Right.
And if
you don't, there'll be
penalties, financial penalties.
That's how to get people interested. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Threaten them with fines, let's say.
Fines, yes.
But, okay, to make... And it sounds kind of... It it could sound a little bit vague. Make your services accessible. Well, yeah, it does sound a bit vague, but here's the point. If you don't know what that really means, this is why the Accessibility Hub exists, yes. Right? This is why you are here.
Yes.
You are here,
yes,
to say, okay, you make your services accessible by doing this and then that and then that.
Yes, and we are, for example, I will give you an example.
Yes, better.
We concentrate on digital and physical environment accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
But for digital, is more straightforward because there are already the accessibility guidelines provided by the World Wide Web Consortium,
Things like that, and alternative text for images on websites, and so that the voice can tell you what it's a picture of. And this is where AI is coming in quite a big way, because now, you just feed your photograph to an AI thing, and it describes what's in the picture. Or you blew my mind yesterday when you told me that you can now have this thing narrate a video for you.
Yes, actually, one of the apps, I don't know if I can say the name.
Yes, you can.
Sing AI. It's also free.
Mm-hmm.
And it offers video description, AI-generated video description of videos of, I think, of any size. I haven't tested, and I didn't study the manuals very carefully until now. But it's in progress, work in progress.
So basically, if I run out of things to say on the air, I can just take a YouTube video, feed it through this thing, and broadcast what it says.
Yes.
On the radio.
Yes. Definitely.
I'll try that next week.
This is how technology evolves.
Right.
And we keep up with these innovations.
Right.
And train people. Yeah, train people.
Good, as you said, if people are if corporations now will be facing penalties for not complying, you better comply. So if my corporation is now afraid they're going to get fined and they want to contact this Accessibility Hub to find out more, how do we find you?
So you find us on the website of Light into Europe. At in Gimbolia, 202.
Mm-hmm.
It is important for you to visit us, to see what we are doing.
Yeah.
And to share your experience, expertise with us, because we need more people who also share their experience with professional life, with
right,
their professional life, mm-hmm, so that we can offer tailored services for them.
And as you said, examples are the best. Examples are the best way to illustrate a problem, and therefore get people who've lived it and get them to tell their stories, and that's gonna really help. The clock ticks on. It's time now. We've got to play your next piece of music.
Yes.
This is slightly different from the previous ones. I mean, in style. Katy Perry, tell me more.
So we are a group of young people in our other projects as well. And we are like lions who want to roar, who are saying now very politely expecting what's to happen. And we are roaring for help, for inclusion, for accelerating our inclusion in society. And we won't give up. So this is our message, that we won't give up and step by step make the future, our future, more accessible and inclusive.
So come on, Philippe, try and guess what song is going to be played next. This one, Katy Perry. Roar! I love this. I haven't heard this for a while.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I said quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything. You held me down, but I got up, already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound, like thunder gonna shake the ground. You held me down, but I got up, get ready cause I've had enough. I see it. I got the eye of the tiger, the fighter, dancing.
stripes. I went from zero to my own hero. You held me down, but I got up. Already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound. Like thunder gonna shake the ground.
Expat Life, made in Bucharest, Romania.
Heard all over the world.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
Welcome back. This is Alexandra Moldovan. We've got about 2 minutes now, and we'll talk about next chapter. This is about what's going to happen in the future. What we're going to focus, though, on is what's actually going to happen on Saturday.
Should
right? And here's a clue.
Be
yeah, the 27th Light into Europe Caledonian Ball. This time it's at the Marriott. Tell us what happens at the Caledonian Ball.
So, the Caledonian Ball is a Scottish ball, of course, which promotes Scottish culture, Scottish dances, Scottish food, and if you want to taste...
Scottish whiskey!
Yes, yes! you are welcome to join us at our next event.
Saturday, Marriott.
Yes,
now, it's not
yes.
too late to buy a ticket.
Yes.
Even if you can't go, buy a ticket anyway, because
yes.
it helps support the charity.
Yes, and it also underlines the power of diversity.
Oh, yes.
And the value of diversity. Because we are all different. We come from different cultures. We
Some
have
of us are even Scottish.
Yes, yes.
And some of us don't. Yeah, and it's great fun. You can watch all these people trying to do the Scottish dancing.
Yes. I also tried it.
Yeah?
And I know three Scottish dances, but I don't dance them very well.
Oh, you know three more than I do.
Oh, thank you.
So that's pretty
I try.
Good. Yeah. And but that's one thing, right? Google Light into Europe. Try and find. I told you, even if you can't go, buy a ticket anyway. In fact, do it now. I'll wait. Have you done it yet? I'll wait a bit longer. I could say, no, let's not drag it out too much. Anyway, it's a great event. I'll be there. Will you be there?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you'll be there. Heidi will be there.
Yes.
You get to see nice fluffy guide dogs. It's great fun. And whiskey. I told you before,
yes.
Whiskey, lots of it. And haggis.
And haggis, of
great.
Course.
Yeah, yeah.
The tastiest food I've ever
really?
Tasted. Yes.
You
yes.
believe that? You're unusual for a Romanian. That's most of Romanians I've met go, what? Really? Seriously? People eat that stuff? You're joking, are you?
Yes.
No, it's very good. It's very good.
Yes.
We have to go. Now, you
yes.
You picked, well, this is what you picked. 40 years ago, this week, the first Band-Aid record was released in the charity record to raise money for Africa. This was the American version. There is a great documentary on Netflix called The Greatest Night in Pop, and you need to watch it because it's all about this, how they made this. They got all the great rock stars and music stars of the world together in one place for one night, and they worked through the night until this thing was ready. Quincy Jones produced it, and we lost Quincy Jones last week, I think, which is a damn shame. He was a musical genius. Why did you choose this song?
Because I felt that we can change the world together. Mm-hmm. So if you help us by coming to us, by exchanging experience and by volunteering, you are a contributor to the future of Romania, to the future of the world, an inclusive world where everyone belongs.
Great. On that note, thank you very much. Nice story, inspiring story, beautifully told, Alexandra.
Thank you.
This has
for
been Expat Life.
Time, yes.
When we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one, there are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. A change. We all are part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving. so we all must lend a helping hand. We are the world, we are the children,
we are the one to make a brighter day, so let's start giving.
Oh, there's a choice we're making, we're saving our lives.
It's true, we make a better day, just you and me.
Stay tuned for Uma and Rial. Young Minds, fresh ideas.
When you're down and out, and there seems no hope at all.
But if you just believe, there's nowhere we can fall.
Well, when love is realized, oh, then a change can only come
when we stand together as one.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New mobs, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.